Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Great to have the team back to review racing at the Valley, and we'll have a look across the ditch to New Zealand and touch on that stakes victory of Special Award in the Carrington Stakes at Randwick yesterday. And first of all, welcome in Dean Lester to the program. Good morning to you, Dino, and congratulations on that four-timer for In the Boat at the Valley yesterday.
Yeah, thank you very much, Warren. He's an absolute beauty, the boat, and he's sailing very sweetly at the moment.
We're all trying to fit into that boat. As I welcome back Brendan Delaney to the program. Brendan, you've had a few weeks off. First of all, welcome back to the program. And for those that are interested, what have you been up to the last few weeks?
Shifting house, Warren. It's something that I intend on never doing again after the experience of the last couple of weeks running up and back down the Calder. So we made the country move up to Woodend. It's very nice up here. The move was something I don't intend on doing any time in the near or distant future, that's for sure.
How'd you find the distraction of racing yesterday afternoon?
It was good, caught up on the replays. Played a bit of cricket yesterday, so we did all the replays last night, and interesting day, hot day there. I'm sure there'll be, with the firming track, there'll be some horses that might go into that little forgive file, but and some that mightn't have coped with the heat, but all in all was an enjoyable day's racing.
We'll try and squeeze in an update on your performance on the cricket field during the course of the review. But let's kick it off. Go back to the first at the Valley yesterday. Unflinching maintained an unbeaten record with Damien Thornton aboard.
Coming towards the bend, 500 out, Obsessive Nature from Unflinching. Duchy of Savoy two lengths away, Rock Artist the rail, the superintendent running on. Obsessive Nature grabbed by Unflinching in one stride, and Unflinching, the invincible colt, race to the front now. Duchy of Savoy getting into second spot, but Unflinching is three out of three, and he's doing it in a cakewalk. Unflinching by three lengths on the line, Duchy of Savoy, the superintendent.
Market virtually had it as a race in two. Dino, how'd you see the first?
Yeah, he was very good, Unflinching. So probably saw a new element to him in that he's still very quick, obviously, but he sat outside the lead. He didn't use the rail this time, and he just travelled really sweetly. And I thought it was a really good, complete performance by him, and I think he's getting better with racing. His sectional times were obviously very sharp. The start of the race was such a key element to it. Rock Artist didn't really fly the gates at all from barrier one, and Duchy of Savoy certainly missed it from barrier two. So all of a sudden you had Obsessive Nature in three and Unflinching in four straight across, and they were going to dominate the race. Duchy of Savoy, she didn't really handle the tempo change that well. In behind them, mouth open, head up a little bit. Still ran okay in running second. The superintendent, suited by the speed, he's going well. He ran third, but the winner's a really smart horse.
Brendan, your take on the first?
Yeah, very good. Unflinching. He just looks a professional, rounded racehorse. Had the pressure to the had the leader to the inside, pressure three deep. He composed himself, and when it was time to go, he had plenty left. As Dino touched on, another dynamic sat off the fence, and you would think that now 1,200 metres are going to hold no barriers for him. He was very good, Duchy of Savoy. Got the start wrong, got the mid-race pace wrong. She was okay in the way that she got to the line, but she had to get that start right to be competitive. The superintendent, I thought, closed off nicely. The run at Sandown was good, a cold ride through the pack, and similar tactics there yesterday. But you would think, just with the style of horse that he is, he's going to be better suited to bigger tracks than Moonee Valley.
Dean, a note from the stewards' report here, and it wasn't a big field in the first. Noted that Duchy Savoy got her head up, raced keenly, and began awkwardly. But better than flying, was tailed off and eased down, beaten more than 22 lengths, and was warned, or connections were warned, that the filly was uncompetitive in the metropolitan area, notified to restrict her racing to non-metropolitan tracks, and should she perform similarly, stewards might take action and suspend her from racing. She was noted to be lame in the near foreleg, but I think, you know, that for the filly of that rating, I know it was a small field size, but it probably, you don't want to make the rating too elitist, but she was never going to be anything other than something that was potentially could have got in the way at the Valley yesterday.
Yeah, that's true, Warren. We saw her show speed very early at Sandown and drop out, and yesterday she just sat in the three wide line and dropped out. But I think, you know, that's fair enough too. And it's this is the fine line we tread when we pay down beyond fifth prize money, that horses can take advantage of these small fields and get rewarded. That added nothing to the betting of the race. So, I would think that, you know, that's the detriment of paying beyond fifth prize money.
An early SMS from Jimbo Dino thanking Leanne for her multi yesterday. I think in excess of $20 was available for Leanne's multi that was far and wide yesterday. Just take us through how Leanne's multi performed yesterday.
Yeah, the first one won in Brisbane. It was one of Chris Lees's, and then one of the jollies in Adelaide. It was a touch over $20, the multi. So it was very well played there by Leanne yesterday. For those that jotted it down, one on the Twitter didn't jot it down and told me to go stuff myself. So there you go.
Well, yeah, social media is lovely for that sort of praise, yeah, and full recommendations. And something for we'll go on a race too shortly, but something for the Formula Bet yesterday. Unfortunately, fundraiser had to chase a very fast speed, but you did get a result with Yulong Command. So something for the contestant yesterday.
Yes, Yulong Command was about $90 return yesterday, so a little something. Would have been a little bit better had fundraisers saluted.
Count the Headlights was on debut for the Mar and Eustace stable in race two yesterday in the hybrid colours of Aussie Kerr and Mipo.
Eros is being nursed to the corner. He's going a bit better than Count the Headlights. Sumatra couldn't quicken. And then further back as they turn, Reservoir Dog in the straight. Eros the front runner. Count the Headlights not done with. Count the Headlights again goes up to Eros. Eros has to call on everything. Count the Headlights went straight past him. Sumatra's getting warm late, but Count the Headlights on debut. Too good. One a length and a quarter, Sumatra and Eros every chance.
Had the blinkers on. He's 1,200 metres on debut. Hearing from Mytho just before, Brendan, maybe just ease into the 1,100 metre heat of the Blue Diamond and then hopefully peak again at 1,200 metres on Blue Diamond Day. How did you see his debut victory?
Yeah, certainly looks a good plan for him. He was very good there yesterday. Liked the way he attacked the line in his lead-up jump out to his debut run there yesterday, and didn't have to do as much chasing as he did in the jump out, but he had that natural speed to put himself right there on the speed, and he was really there ready to go. Sumatra, I'm a bit of a fan of her. I liked her trials in Sydney. She's a big girl. You'd think she's going to not only take benefit from race experience and maybe another prep, but also a little bit further in ground. She was really getting warm late. Eros pretty much had it on his own terms. Count the Headlights was happy to be dictated to by him. And when it really got serious, he didn't have too many answers. But first and second, good performances. Eros maybe back to the drawing board, maybe. And that's enough for him this time in. But they got well clear of the rest. Hoots made a little bit of ground out of the pack, but the race really dominated by the top three.
She's a beautiful athletic filly, Sumatra. I'm sure she's got a pedigree to match, but she looks to have a bright future. Just a note from the Stewards report here, Dean, and a note from Sam Friedman prior to 9 o'clock. Mark Zara could offer no explanation for the performance of Eros, and nothing was revealed immediately post-race. Stewards will follow up with the stable, and we've just heard from Sam Friedman that the horse has pulled up shin sore, Dean.
Yes, and that's fair enough. We're on firm ground yesterday, and they're only babies. But, I think it might be a significant two-year-old race. I think Count the Headlights. I just didn't, as Brendan said, he chased down well, but I sort of thought, got on terms in the jump out, and I didn't know if he knew how to sort of finish off. But you can just see that with every gallop he's had the three jump outs, now a race, he's just getting a bit better each time. And the timing will be spot on for him to be at his best, I would imagine, come Blue Diamond time. I think Sumatra, as much as anything, getting onto a bigger track, if she gets to a one-turn track like Caulfield rather than the two turns, she'll be better again. She's a beautiful striding filly, and I really like the way she went about it. And I think Eros has got a really nice future, but obviously pulled up shin sore, and they beat the rest easily. Hoops ridden quieter yesterday, went a bit better. But, I think the first two will be hearing their names in the significant two-year-old races in weeks to come.
Water to go under the bridge, Dino, but mightn't be comparing apples with apples, but the win of Jack and O, which is seen as one of the better performances here at Caulfield for the Price and Kent Junior stable. How do you line up yesterday's performance as well as you can with Jack and O?
Yeah, look, Jack and O was obviously a very good performance. On the time-wise, I still haven't got the standardised times from yesterday. Obviously, with very quick times, it's hard to gauge. But Jackano was very strong and, you know, can run the 1,200 out as well. So these horses were at least seeing at the longer trips. Then you've got, you know, the likes of Ebhar and those horses that came through the Merson Cooper late spring. So, you know, we've got to match them all up together yet. And I'm a big rat for a filly called Jewellery. I think her debut performance was outstanding. So that was behind Philosopher. So that's another form line. So I think the more prominent form lines are coming to the fore now.
Your thoughts there, Brendan?
Count the headlights. He's impressive yesterday. Jackano was good in what we've seen of him, but I wouldn't be. I think if Sumatra heads down that line, if she gets a really fast run race and does go down that blue diamond path, if she can sit off them, you would think that she's a big possibility at playing a part later on in the year.
Perhaps a race that could feature come Blue Diamond Day, some blending form lines to come together in the weeks ahead. Race two at the Valley yesterday. Ashwin Sweet Jr. hasn't been winning by much since joining the Philip Stokes stable, but he has been winning. Jamie Carr was aboard yesterday.
Sweet Junior grinding home, coming into it strongly now, very strongly the favourite. Good Idea, Our Mantra, Blenheim Palace. Starcaster to the bend first from in a twinkling, and here on the outside, Darshan Sweet Junior is starting to wind up and round them up, and they're clear from Good Idea, guns are blazing. In a twinkling, hit the lead, but Darshan Sweet Junior said, ta-ta! Quickly moved up on the outside of In a Twinkling, who fought back. In a twinkling coming back at Darshan Sweet Junior. Darshan Sweet Junior in front. In a twinkling is lifting. In a twinkling, Darshan Sweet Jr. Too close to call. Darshan Sweet Jr. got its nose down.
Well, point one of a length is still some sort of a ta-da, Dino, I suppose. So he did say ta-da to In a Twinkling. What did you make of the win yesterday?
We've got to put that call in the vault because Terry said, I'm not going to have a go at it. That's a first, surely.
After the ta-da at the two of the home straight.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just a recurring theme with Darshan Sweet Jr. He just doesn't win by much, but he wins. He gets on terms, and he's wining margins now, 0.1, 0.1, 0.2, 0.1. So he, at least he knows how to get it done, but he doesn't want to really run away from his rivals, but he did a good job to beat In a Twinkling, who's running really well. I think maybe they're both heading towards the Hobart Cup off that. Starcast, we heard Sam Friedman say, might have a freshen up. Good Ideas grinding away, and I imagine he'll be heading towards the Adelaide Cup again. But, yeah, he's a really good progressive horse. It's just a bit of heart and mouth stuff when he hits the front.
Some talk that from Phil Stokes, I think that firming track mightn't have been ideal for the big, strong horse, Good Idea. One from Rhino, as we know, is a regular contributor via SMS, Dino, and I'll pose this question to you first. Good morning, gentlemen. Obviously, the track was firm yesterday, but with good grass cover, was there many horses pull up sore from the Valley? Well, from the stewards' report, it's not a high percentage, but Dino, I suppose to this morning in the stables might tell more of a story.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and I mean it's an ongoing thing, isn't it? Like the horses, you know, how they pull up is the horseman's problem today, but yesterday did it affect their performance that much? You just wonder if it does. But I thought, you know, look, the track played firm and to the front because they were running so quick. But the longer races, when we saw High and Dry and Darshan Sweet Jr. were able to make ground, but the sprint races were certainly nearly confined to the leaders.
Your take on race three, Brendan?
Darshan Sweet Jr. thought it was a good effort, although he sort of doesn't run past. He had to make a fairly long run, a long looping run, so maybe he was just getting a little bit tired at the back end. In a twinkling, did a good job conceding a fair bit of weight to the winner in the end. I was a little bit questionable in a twinkling getting out to the 2,500 metres, but more than proved yesterday that you're capable of handling that. Starcaster, maybe at this stage of his career, 2,500 metres is just a little bit too far for him, back to 2,000 where he can roll, and Good Idea didn't think he was really going to be suited from about halfway. He wasn't going to be able to really pick up and dash. He needs a grinding effort, but he's ticking away okay, as Dino touched on, probably heading back towards Adelaide for an Adelaide Cup. But the winner was very good. He doesn't win by much, but he's more than happy to roll the sleeves up and get in a bit of a stoush.
Jamie Carr aboard Darshan Sweet Jr. for that win. Out to the 2,500 metres and ticking that box at the Valley yesterday. Matty Cartwright had a terrific day with his first Metropolitan Treble at the Valley yesterday. Swelter Magic rode the speed over 2,500 in race four for Kevin Corsons.
Kuta Tania running on. Wells is a long way back. Eaton making ground in front of him. Swelter Magic in front. Sotol Angel a length away. Under pressure, Lost Impact. Eaton, Kuta Tania. That's the race. Then Wells in the straight now and still the leader going strongly. Swelter Magic. It's two lengths clear. Sotol Angel on the outside of Lost Impact having a bumping duel while this is happening. Swelter Magic's off with the prize. Three lengths in front. Lost Impact. Sotol Angel. But Swelter Magic is flying to the line and is going to win in a romp. By nearly 2.5, 3 lengths, Lost Impact and Salto.
Start of a good day for Matty Cartwright. Brendan, what did you make of this race?
Yeah, good effort. I thought he might have been another one, she might have been another one, I beg your pardon, that was a little bit suspect out to 2,500 metres, but had a good ally in Saving to do the work for her in the early part of the race. And when Saving had enough after a lap, Matthew Cartwright was brave enough to put the eggs in the basket and push on for home. And she seemed to really relish getting out to that sort of distance. Didn't have a lot of pressure throughout, had one to follow, work past. She was pretty good, Lost Impact, grounded out okay, sold to Angel. She was there with her chance and a typical grinding effort. I think that's what we're going to come to expect of her as she gets out in trip. And Eden battled along all right. Wellsford got a fair way back. You would think that 42 days or whatever it was between runs is going to help him getting out in that distance range again. But Swelter Magic had the right run. There's going to be an excuse for Saving, you would think, come through there. I don't think there was much that they could offer up yesterday, but something definitely amiss. Not the horse that we've been seeing scooting around the valley of late.
No, just reading from the stewards report there, Brendan. Led and weakened from the 600, eased down and finished a distant last. Tom Stockdale reported that the gelding may have come to the end of the preparation. Post-race veterinary examination failed to reveal any abnormality, and Andrea Leake advised that in her view the gelding had come to the end of that preparation and would now be spelled. What did you think here, Dean?
Yeah, I think the two that tailed off there, I think Packers Bond's probably going for a spell too. They've come to the back end of it, and he's had a series of hard runs Saving, and I think yesterday about the 800 he put up the flag, and Swelter Magic, didn't know if he'd run 2,500 metres, but did it well. It was really, as Brendan said, a brave ride by Matty Cartwright to take up the running so far out when Saving was gone, but he didn't hold her momentum and just kept rolling with her, and it was a good move. Lost Impact, I thought, ran well. Salto Angels, that's what she does. She just grinds away. Thought coming to the turn, Eaton was going to get right into it, and he just then grounded out. And Kuda Tenere, I thought with Saving and Swelter Magic in the race, he'd be really well suited, but he's only just going. And I think Wellsford, he'd had 42 days between runs and was scratched on one occasion. Maybe he'd had a setback. I think he'll be better for that day at the races.
If Lindsay Smith ever gets Lost Impact into a race where he can pick the barrier for her, Dino, I doubt it'd be barrier one.
Yeah, well, she's drawn at four of the last five, I think, and he scratched it on a couple of occasions. So, yeah, she's certainly good at drawing one, but the day she drew out, she bolted in. So, yeah, she hopefully she gets a wider draw next time.
And I don't think Alana Kelly could have done anything else yesterday.
No.
But just at the time, where, and it wouldn't have impacted the result, I don't think, Dean, but when she wanted to get rolling, she had Salto Angel being that horse on the outside, just forcing her back into that restricted room, which probably meant that if she got clear when she wanted to, she might have finished a touch closer. To my eye, what do you think, Pat?
Yeah, I think so. And Salto Angel's not one that you can push around in a hurry. She's quite
no,
got a bit of size about her. Yeah.
One from Danny from Muriduck, another regular contributor. Thanks for your contribution, Danny. And it's a general one on the track condition. I'll pose it to both of you. Start with you, Brendan. With all the technology and water available these days, it is unacceptable to be running on firm two tracks in town, or is it unacceptable with a question mark? Was close to, if not a good three at the start of the program, shouldn't be close to the softer side and allow the track to dry out with the weather expected yesterday. Love to know your thoughts. Well, what are your thoughts there, Brendan?
I think this is one of Dean's lines. It's an outdoor sport. There's only so much water you can put on before the ground just swallows it up. It's been relatively warm throughout the last couple of days. There's nothing like natural rainfall to soften the track up. Yeah, I'm sure we all know that the track staff try as best they can, but when you've got a 30-degree day, there was a little bit of a northerly blowing through the early part of the day. It dries out pretty quick, and it's an outdoor sport. We have to deal with the conditions. From the welfare point of view, it's probably not ideal getting to those sort of track ratings later on in the program, but you've just got to deal with what Mother Nature serves up.
Dino?
Yeah, and with the upgrades, participants have the opportunity to be late scratchings if they aren't happy with the conditions. And for that track to be a 4, close to a 3 late in the day, I would have thought we'd have to have been on a 5, you know, closer to a 6 for the first. Now, that's disadvantaging horses that are in work over summer wanting dry tracks, like, you know, maybe that's what Unflinching and Duchy of Savoy are in for. They're racing to earn their money now. I know that had In the Boat been running early in the day on a 5 or a 6, he wouldn't have been running. So he's a horse that loves firm ground. So, I think, it is a hard thing, and we're always looking at the horse management, but I think with the good cover of grass and the best that they could do, I think the participants ultimately have that to make that decision whether they want to run or not.
Race 4 taken out by Swell to Magic. Matty Cartwright having a terrific day. He was shooting for a running double on Yulon Command, who was a favourite. Well backed was Winsome to take him on in race 5.
Winsome's got a problem. He's 5 lengths away last. Yulon Command, he looks the one to beat. 2 in front as they come to the corner. He's under a vice-like grip, the favourite, and going great guns. In second, Grandview Avenue, battling away. Music Edition, nothing from the back. Further back, the last Napoleon Sam's Image, but Yulon Command, after a flying start out of the gates, 2 lengths in front. He's starting to get the paddles up, but the post is coming up. The last Napoleon went to second. Yulon Command in front, and he razzle-dazzles them. Beats them 3/4, the last Napoleon Music Edition.
Note from the stewards report regarding Winsome, and this could be one relevant to what Rhino was asking about, but Casey Keys, co-trainer, reported the gelding had trained well in the period before today's race and that the gelding did not appreciate the firm conditions and was identified to be lame in both forelegs, Dean. So not ideal for Winsome and Connections, but Yulon Commander, I think Matty Cartwright described him as the quickest horse he's ridden out of the gates.
Yeah, and that's the key, is that he's a terrific 1,000-metre horse. We've seen him extend out to 1,200, but 1,000 metres is his strong suit, and he's just got that really good high cruising speed, and he just had the fastest 1,000-metre figures in the race, so he only had to really turn up and replicate what he's been doing. And the Freedmans have got it down pat. They give him that time between runs, the tick over, jump out 8 days out like they did at Flemington recently, and go to the races. And once he crossed Grandview Avenue, it was pretty much all over. The last Napoleon, as he does, ran on really well. He just can't take a position early, but he runs on well, and he's one that I think really appreciated the firm ground yesterday. He just doesn't like the ground moving underneath him. He ran quite well, and a bunch finished behind them. Obviously, Winsome identified that he didn't like the soft ground early because he detached from the field within 200 metres. So he must have really felt it very early. So not ideal. 7 weeks between runs. Just, he obviously has issues, and yesterday probably complicated them.
What's your take on race 5, Brendan?
Good effort, Yulon Command. Flew the leads. It was almost like it was a staggered 400-metre start around an athletics track, and he had lane 8, how quickly he came out. But he set the race up there. The last Napoleon, if you're going to envisage how he's going to run a race, either over 9.55 or 1,000 at Moonee Valley, that's it. Get back, come through the inside and finish hard. It was a good, solid, consistent effort from him. Music Edition was a better effort. Grandview Avenue's not going anywhere as near as well as we've seen him go before. Prevero battled on okay after covering some ground, and Winsome we've touched on, but Yulon Command set it up early in the last Napoleon, ran his usual consistent Moonee Valley race.
Invincible Jet hit race 6, third up at the Valley. Geordie Childs riding for Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott.
Sharp response given to Liven Up the outside from Al Burke. A long way off these leaders. They're being followed by National Choice, and at the rail is Tail Write Your Name. Invincible Jet a length in front of Deep Dive as they turn. Third, Japri. Sharp response. Rogue Star trying to run on. In the straight, Invincible Jet the leader. Deep Dive 3/4 back. Sharp response third, but can't pick up the 2 leaders. Invincible Jet and Deep Dive. Invincible Jet in front. Deep Dive trying, lunging on the outside. Missed out. Invincible Jet has just beaten Deep Dive in a thriller.
Terry, have a crack at that one and got it right. Brendan, Invincible Jet, just holding on. That dive from Deep Dive, take us through your thoughts here.
Yeah, it was Deep Dive. Had dived a little deeper and got a little closer, it would have been a better result. But Invincible Jet allowed to roll at his own leisure, at his own liking, which is generally a good solid clip. I think the better draw probably helped him a little bit yesterday, drawn out the last couple of runs his preparation, or the two runs his preparation, and with that lower draw didn't have to do as much work to get to the lead. Matt was a bit kinder to him, but he was allowed to roll on. Deep Dive was there, just missed, good effort, consistent third up performer, runs well third up again. In the context of the day, Sharp Responses run was enormous, long way off them at the 400 metres, had to make a long chase, and he really closed it off strongly, cutting them down to a length and a half. Late on in the piece, just wasn't the circumstances that were really going to suit him yesterday. Albert made a bit of ground. National Choice, Write Your Name, also both made a little bit of ground, and the Hawks runner Meraminko just got back in a race where you couldn't really afford to get back in. He was one that was in the market. He wasn't beaten all that far in the end, but a race dictated on speed. Invincible Jet just had enough up his sleeve late.
You're expecting an improved performance third up from Invincible Jet going into yesterday. Dean, how did it meet what you were thinking he might be able to do?
Yeah, I was hoping with, you know, real fitness they'd sort of cut the ribbons, and I was pretty pleased to see him win, Warren, because he'd been chasing home in the boat at his previous two runs, so it made the form look okay. He ran along. I didn't think they'd get so much separation, the first two, from the rest of the field. And so that was evident that the 600 Sharp Response wasn't going to be able to win. As Brendan said, his run was absolutely enormous. But that that separation that they got between the 8 and the 600, and doing it on their own terms, Invincible Jet and Deep Dive, meant that, you know, when Japery sort of couldn't keep going with them and Rogue Star was under pressure, Sharp Response had to get going, and his effort was tremendous to do what he did. And can go back to three-year-old grade, hard fit. Wouldn't be surprised if he took on a race like the Manfred or the Autumn Stakes in the next couple of weeks and ran really close to winning. He's going very, very well indeed.
Note from the Stewards report, probably regarding the horse in the market that performed below expectations as much as anything else, Meraminko, first up for Team Hawks. Fred Kersley reported the gelding would derive benefit from today's first-up performance. Post-race veteran examination failed to reveal any abnormalities, and stewards will follow up with the stable. How do you assess the performance, Brendan, first-up of Meraminko?
Back in a race where it was hard to make ground, and the firming track, I'm just happy to put that one in as a little bit of a forgive file and see again before you make a real judgment on him.
Do you know your thoughts on Meraminko?
Yeah, he came in with two pretty soft trials, and then he went into an extreme situation yesterday, and probably going to be a 1400 metre horse. So I'd be look, he's been beaten a long way, but I'd be forgiving of that performance. I just think it was, you know, it was probably too high pressure first up.
They're running time at the Valley and warm conditions at this stage. We're on a good three. We're about to get an upgrade after the next race, 7, where they set a track record, high and dry, third leg of a treble for Matty Cartwright.
Start its run on the fence behind those Eureka Street. LaBelle's under pressure. High and dry went past him. Musselbrook, then Red Kelly and Garen Pirro not travelling well. Galactic Fury to the bend first. Fundraiser Stalking's about a half, three quarters back. Two lengths, Unanimous starting to run on. Then Neighbourhood and High and Dry coming with a run. On the corner, Galactic Fury in front. Fundraiser after him. Here come the chasers. Unanimous and also High and Dry with a big run. High and Dry wide out and Unanimous go after Fundraiser. Unanimous, High and Dry. Dry and Fundraiser. High and Dry on the outside takes the lead. Unanimous coming back at it. High and Dry in front. High and Dry just the leader in one. High and Dry from Unanimous Lee. And third will go to...
Yeah, terrific performance from High and Dry, and a different style of ride from Matty Cartwright, adding a good highlight reel to his day at the races yesterday, Dean. A couple of leading and dominating races and then some real nice slicing through the field on High and Dry.
Yeah, he's ridden this horse very well on a couple of occasions from back in the field, and that's all he needs, High and Dry. I'm a huge fan of the horse, but I've always thought he was better on bigger tracks, but it really does come down to just tempo of races, and he loves a fast speed. And we were talking about this race yesterday, Warren, that there didn't look any speed on paper, but it's a bit like an auction. You only need two that want to lead or two that want to bid, and you'll get an elevated price. Well, two that went for Galactic Fury went forward, and Fundraiser was keen, second up 1500. He was keen once he'd been ridden to hold his spot, and all of a sudden they're running record speed, and it was evident at a fair way out that they were going to get caught, but Fundraiser, he tried hard, but couldn't stave off the likes of Unanimous and then High and Dry right over the top.
I know you haven't got standardised times yet, Dino, but a question from Gary Kinsella from Berwick, a regular contributor. Thanks for that, Gary. Has Galactic Fury ever led at such a fast speed? Checking his previous races, I could not find any race in which he had led. He certainly left favourite backers High and Dry. What did you make of the performance? It is noted in the stewards' report. If you want me to reference that first, I will, Dino, because they did talk to Josh Richards about Galactic Fury. And I'll reference that first. He was bumped shortly after the start by Garen Pirro, which shifted in, led and weakened from the 200-metre mark after becoming unbalanced upon straightening. Josh Richards advised that he was instructed to ride his mount forward with cover and preferably in the one-out, one-back position. After beginning well, settling forward, he elected to stride and then led rather than sit in a three-wide position. He added, after finding the lead, his mount then raced keenly, and in hindsight, he should have attempted to restrain the gelding to enable it to have some respite mid-race. Kieran Maher confirmed the instructions given, but was disappointed that Josh Richards did not attempt to restrain and relax the gelding further through the middle stages. So, wasn't necessarily the plan to really rip and tear, and in retrospect, Josh Richards has said that he should have done more to try and restrain the gallop mid-race. Dino, what did you make of Galactic Fury's run?
Yeah, well, he hasn't been ridden in that vein before, and I thought with 52 kilos he'd be taking a chance and being forward, but obviously not to that degree. And, yeah, so from the 1,200 to the 1,000, he ran 11.27, then he ran 11.26, then 11.54 to the 600. So by the 400, he's starting to fatigue, and, you know, quite rightly so. I think once he got rolling, I don't know if Josh Richards could have done much more about it. The damage had already sort of been done by that stage. When you're watching him, he seems to be restraining him. 11.54 from the 600 to the 400, and then obviously he's gone. But Fundraiser was just in that awkward spot that he had to sort of stay where he did, but he was always going to be the one vulnerable late, and it became a really tough race, and High and Dry loved it, which he tends to do.
Fundraiser, as you said, caught in that awkward spot. He had a terrific first up run. Now he jumped to the 1500 second up, and he's chased at a track record pace. What could that mean for Fundraiser, Dean?
Yeah, he might need another 3 weeks. He had 3 weeks between his first and his second up run. He might need another 3 weeks to sort of get back off that hard run. But I'm certain there's the win in him fairly soon. They tinkered with the gear yesterday. He had pacifiers and a Norton bit on, so they're really working on trying to get him to pace himself, and probably just having that horse fire him up in front yesterday didn't help. But they're working on him, the Hayes boys, and the horse, I think he's looking really well, Warren, and he's not far off a win.
Yeah, he looked nice and fit second up yesterday. Mm-hmm. Your overall thoughts here, Brendan?
Yeah, nice speed for High and Dry. Matt Cartwright got a lovely ride on the back of Unanimous into the race and just had to come off at the right time and get the nose in front. Solid effort from the winner. Unanimous rolled into the race, just got overpowered late. Fundraiser did a good job to stick on after sitting on that speed. Neighbourhood battled okay. Didn't mind the run of Red Kelly. Thought it was okay, taking into account the fast time, first up off such a long break, the firming ground. I thought Red Kelly did enough. Garen Pirro closed off okay as well, and Musselbrook's ticking over nicely. But all honours to the winner, but I'm sure they would have been pleased with the Australian debut of Red Kelly.
Well, I can tell you that at least one of the connections was I was chatting to Piers Morgan on course following the race yesterday, and he was thrilled with the performance of Red Kelly in the Clay Hero colours for Ross Lanyon and other partners. Dino, what was your take on his run?
Yeah, it was good. He was good through the line. I think what he did appreciate was such a strong gallop, even though he was first up. He'd just been sort of out-sprinted at the jump outs, but in a truly run race at this sort of distance, he was just a bit awkward on the home turn too. He was on the wrong leg for part of the bend and didn't really balance up until late. And when he did, he actually found the line really nicely, cutting through between Neighbourhood and Musselbrook there late. His effort was quite good. And I didn't think LaBelle went too bad either, first run for the Mare Eustace stable. I thought he'd been trialling well, and he'll be better for a day at the races.
The form line had been frank with Invincible Jet winning earlier on in the day. In the Boat was going for four in a row, race 8.
Fluorescent Star's getting up on the fence. Behind those runners then is Pioneer River and Sacred Palace in the boat, kicked on the corner, found a length. Fluorescent Star, the door's about to open up. Then came Pioneer River and Sacred Palace in the boat in front. Fluorescent Star went to second, but in the boat's powering. He's got his motor in full cry. In the boat goes all the way and he smashes them. Wins two lengths, Fluorescent Star.
Well, Brendan, I'll start with you. The win of In the Boat, making it four in a row. Alana Kelly making it two in a row aboard this galloper and running Slick Time. What did you make of his performance yesterday?
Super performance. Just love that little extra kick that he's got up his sleeve when it, just as it looks at about the 150 or so, it's not the first time it's happened where it looks like they're going to get to him. He's just got that extra tenacity and bit of reserve to put another little space on them, and he was able to do that again yesterday. Got a lovely ride from Alana Kelly. She's flying at the moment, and the 2 kilo advantage that she's got is a bit of gold, and he was good in the boat. Had that kick that we've been accustomed with to seeing lately, and another super performance for Fluorescent Star. The opportunity was there to win the race, sat on the back of In the Boat. The run came, but couldn't get near him in the back end. Sacred Palace closed off well. Vainstream always bobs up around this time of year. Ran a nice race back to the inside. Curran got a long way back, closed off. Pioneer River solid again, but and Broadway in fourth. Her day was over at the start. She walked out of the gates and then didn't really want to play much part from that point on, but he's a horse that's at the top of his game in the boat, and I'm sure Dino's very, very pleased with him.
I'm sure you are, Dean, and watching him in the Mounting Yard recently, I've been fortunate enough to be doing some racing.com Mounting Yards when he was racing and being able to get really up close and personal. And looking at him again, the Valley yesterday, I actually think it's the most composed he's been. He'd been getting a touch warm, which hadn't been affecting his performances. But to my eye, he looked absolutely at his the best I've seen him yesterday. What was the feedback from the stable going into yesterday?
Yeah, well, when Lindsay put through the photo yesterday morning, he always puts through a race day photo, and I just thought it was the best he's looked in the skin and just looked in himself. He probably between his first and his second up run, I thought he'd lightened off a bit, but yesterday he'd really rounded up again, because he's quite, for a sprinter, quite long, and he doesn't carry huge condition, but he's a very nice horse. And
a long boat.
Yeah, he is a long boat. But yesterday I thought he absolutely glowing in the coat, and you know, really had thrived off those two runs. So, yeah, we're obviously expecting a good run, and that was a, you know, terrific performance. Advantage by the way the day was panning out, but he does it from the front. He absorbed a fair bit of pressure yesterday, because I thought Exeter would come across from out wide, because that's been his sort of style. And you know, when you've got a horse like Pioneer River, it had a good run behind them, and he'd been in really good form, and he dropped him on straightening, and Fluorescent Star had the good run behind, and she's been racing really well. It was a very good effort. The close is late. I thought stablemate Sacred Palace went really well, and Curran's just lost his early speed. That's the biggest problem for him at the moment, and I think he's having a break now. Matt might have mentioned to you, Warren, but his greatest asset was he used to box seat and travel and then have a kick. His last three runs, he's been out the back with just way too much to do.
What's the plan for In the Boat?
That's probably a good question. We really want to try him at 1,400 metres. That's something that Lindsay's been very keen on for a long time. There's a 1,400 in 3 weeks at Caulfield. And then he'd probably have a little break and, yeah, maybe aim up at, you know, races, you know, late March, like the Hariba or something like that, and maybe even a Victoria Handicap if he does handle a 1,400 well. But yeah, his next run's probably in about 3 weeks.
Your horse might be a good example to try and explain an SMS as the way I'm reading it, Dino. Sorry, guys, can you please explain? Some horses have speed and set the pace. Others have a turn of foot, Another gear, I suppose. Others like to come home stronger the last 200. Can you explain that? Probably almost the terminology and the style of horse, and probably where you'd fit In the Boat into that category, Dino.
Well, he can run continual sectionals at a really good speed. But when we held him up first up, admittedly, he got beaten by Easy Single at Swan Hill, who's a nice horse, and then got beaten by Duchess of Dorset at Warrnambool. We held him up and asked him for a sprint, and he only found a little bit. had we led on those occasions, he might have won both of those races too, because he just maintains a long, sustained gallop. But holding him up doesn't make him go any faster, where some horses get their composure, get travelling, and then can reel off a quicker sectional offer, you know, being held up. So that's why, you know, his style is to just maintain a good, even speed for as long as he can go.
Hopefully that explanation explains it, and In the Boat can maintain a good speed. A terrific 0.1 of a second outside the track record. Dino, have you had a track record holder before?
Yeah, I think we had with Constant Force, Warren. I think he had a record at the Geelong Synthetic.
He used to go back every week and break it again.
Yes.
he had a little purple patch here. Not quite the valley, but the synthetic track at Geelong. You're right, Constant Force was a track record holder there for a while. Nicky Burke saddled up Galgani in the last. First up with Josh Richards aboard.
Amia, Demando, way to go, Paula Hamslet, and still Estrel Park last as they near the corner. Gloves are off, got the better of Patrika Gold. Going after it is What a Smasher. Then came Maria Mia needing a run, Galgani, and way to go, Paula, to the outside. In the straight, What a Smasher, the leader. From Gloves are off, Galgani. Behind those, Maria Mia, and way to go, Paula, running on down the outside. Plenty of chances. Galgani going up to What a Smasher. Galgani, What a Smasher. Galgani goes on to beat What a Smasher. Way to go.
First up for Nicky Burke, perhaps avoided some of the trouble that other runners had, but with horses like Chassis and Shoerath in her form card, do you know she probably went around at decent odds for her overall record yesterday?
She probably did, Warren. She's a good mare. She just never runs badly. She trialled up so well in recent weeks, and this was a totally different dynamic to the previous race where they just ran along at their top, and when Patrika Gold got the lead early and then backed it right off in the middle stages, that's when the trouble started for a few of them. And I think Josh Richards would have been very happy that he was three wide and staying out of that sort of issues. So, you know, they've run about a second slower than the In the Boat race. That doesn't mean they're that inferior. It just meant that the structure of the race was so much different. And she won. What a Smasher ran well. Way to go, Paula, was better. But the likes of Gloves are off. Estrel Park missed the start, which didn't help her. And Maria Mia, well, you know, who knows? She may have won with any luck at all.
Held up for a significant period in the stewards' report. And Tom Stockdale incurred the only suspension from the meeting, a 10-meeting suspension for trying to make something happen in the home straight aboard Maria Mia. Your take on the last, Brendan?
I thought it was a really good ride from Josh Richards. I know he was four deep the trip, but just the way he rolled with Galgani throughout, he didn't bustle her. A lot of hands and heels riding. I think he might have given her one little tap with about 75 to go, but he knew what he had underneath, and I thought it was just a lovely piece of riding. Just the way how he rolled with her in that last 400 or 500 metres, knew she was going at her top, just kept encouraging her with hands and heels. She's done a good job. Maybe the 59 kilos was a little bit of a query maybe for mine. First up from a break, some of her better racing's been in better grey, but when she's been down in the weight, so another run where she has run well first up, though. What a Smasher, big run. Way to go, Paula, closed it off well. Demando never had a lot of room, nor Maria Mia and Patrika Gold maybe. It all came to a head too soon after that brilliant win first up, but good performance from Galgani. She's held her first up form and really liked the ride from Josh Richards.
Andrew Noblet had kept Hamslet on the fresh side, staying at the 1,200 metres, Dino. I know the gentle tempo might have suited her, but I'd add her to the list of horses who just didn't get the clear galloping room when she needed it, and perhaps now ready for a step up in trip. I think she's come back well, but might be looking for a step up beyond 1,200 to my eye. How did you assess Hamslet?
I'd agree with that, because she was sort of angling sideways on straightening, trying to get back to the inside of Maria Mia and turn all in the one go. And, I thought she was a good run. There are a lot of good runs in this race because of the nature of it, bunch finish, but they'll all find their little benchmark races and go on. But Galgani can get out to 1,400 and still win again. There was nothing wrong with her first up performance. And, Thomas Stockdale, a little bit stiff there getting a suspension. I reckon he did tighten that horse, but there was a lot going on at that stage of the race.
just a note from Patrika Gold, who was coming off that maiden victory. Post-race veterinary examination revealed the mare have a slower than normal recovery and lame in the off foreleg. So perhaps a forgive for Patrika Gold, and she'll require a veterinary certificate prior to racing again. Hot day at the Valley. They are running fast times. Take a break on RSN 927. Have a look at Sydney, New Zealand after this.
Campbell home, further back then Dynastic, and then came Fellini, then came Alabama Gold. Time flies, went away by three here. Wolverine tried to hunt it down and coming after them. Now here's Dynastic. Dynastic ranged up, Wolverine coming with it. Further out then we've got Fellini. It's Dynastic in front from Wolverine and Fellini. And then time flies, Dynastic for Tiako, six of the best.
They really should get George Simon a booth where he can call the races from, Dino. Sounds like he's out in the middle of the crowd. Either there's some canned crowd there or they've got the crowd microphones right up and George down on low. You can hear more of the crowd than the performance there, but it was a good performance from Dynastic.
Yeah, well, they say it's a rowdy crowd at that Karaka Day. Maybe that's the problem, Warren. But, yeah, it was a good performance by Dynastic. And I don't know why they run the race, really. They should just hand it to the Tangerine Colours every year. It's a recurring theme. And, yeah, it was a good performance. You never know what to make of a New Zealand two-year-old winner with regard to do they have any relevance going forward here. But it was certainly a good performance.
An interesting sideline to that meeting too was Luke Kenny's and the boys at Boys Get Paid. They had a punting pool of over $600,000 and a lot of engagement of young people and returned, you know, almost a 30% profit on that turnover. They do it well over there. The TAB gave them a $50,000 bonus bet, which was also turned into a profit. Just your take on that concept, Dino, and what it provides there and, you know, what options there might be here?
Yeah, I remember when they used to do that at the Randwick over the carnival and have spin the wheel and people win bonuses and they join the punters club and have that big pool. I think the Duff might have run it actually, but for many, many years ago. So look, it is a good way to engage and sort of, you know, for those that don't have the expertise or don't want to try and find a winner, but have something to cheer for, it's probably a good way to go. It's a massive pool though, isn't it? They could really move the markets with that sort of size pool to bet with.
Yeah, your thoughts first of all on that concept, Brendan?
Probably good for someone that doesn't have, as Dino touched on, maybe the expertise all the time to sit there and really sift through the form. You've got someone that's well and knowledgeable doing all that hard work for you, and you get to jump on for the ride. So if you're a bit time poor, it's probably a good way to go about things.
Yeah, and I suppose there's nothing to stop you doing both. You can throw a percentage of your bank into there and then have your own opinion about a couple of things. I think, you know, young people enthusiastic and trying to create engagement in not just wagering, but you know, understanding racing as well too, I think's a real positive. What about your take on the race, Brendan?
Lovely riding in from Opie Bolson back on the fence track through another sort of big race masterclass there from Opie. Wolverine was solid and Fellini I thought chased pretty hard, but it was going to be a Tiakau horse and Opie gave the top seed the good ride.
Three-year-old Guineas went to Pin Me Up, another horse prepared by Jamie Richards.
Round out deeper, followed by Carmen Line. Further back, leading man as they turn for home for Sophisticado. The landing, well back also, is Rain It In as they head down to the 250. On the bubbles, made the lead. Miss Ellis coming after it. And down the outside, here comes Pin Me Up. Pin Me Up, ranged up for Miss Ella. Running on late, Tutu Kaka as well. It's Pin Me Up. Tutu Kaka's about a length and a half away. Pin Me Up in front for Sam Weatherly. And Pin Me Up wins the Karaka Million Classic.
Well, outside the Tiakau colours, but good to see Jamie Edwards training winners for some other owners, Brendan. And, yeah, again, not really too sure what to make of the depth of this form, but the crowd certainly loved it.
They certainly did. Sounded like halfway through the third quarter at the MCG, didn't it, when there's a point in it. But
I thought I heard someone get murdered during that. I'd love to break down that video or audio and just really pick out the little bites there. I think there was something happening there that the police need to investigate.
Yeah, Pimmy Up Good Speed was on, though, for something to come from behind, and Pimmy Up was the one that obliged. Two Dukaka rocketed late, and the short price favourite on the bubbles just got caught in that speed battle, and it was evident a long way out that there wasn't going to be enough petrol in the tank from the bubbles to finish off, and Pimmy Up was the one that that took full advantage of that that quick tempo.
Dino, your thoughts here, if you've got anything to add on that race?
Just the two to Carcar, obviously. I was tipping him in the Victoria Derby, so it was good to see him return. He's probably on a New Zealand Derby path now with the timing of this run over 1600 and about 6 weeks to the Derby in New Zealand. So he's obviously going nicely again.
Probably showing my age here, but whenever I see the Carrington Stakes run at Randwick in Sydney, I always think of the grand old galloper at sea. Chris Lee's prepared the winner yesterday.
True Detective locked up. Purple Sector pulling out. Ziegfeld tight for room. And a gap back in the field to Charmy Baby through the cracks. Dearly looks like Elvis still well back. Invinciano moved up to prime candidate. True Detective gets the run. Through the cracks is winding up with a big run. And Special Reward right through the middle. Special Reward moved up to take the lead from through the cracks. And goes on to win a Special Reward. Special Reward first. Now second between through the cracks.
Well, Chris Lees has got the horse going really well. He took out the Razor Sharp a few weeks ago and another one of the summer sprint features there in Sydney. Dino, what did you make of the Carrington Stakes yesterday?
Yeah, he just got that momentum up. Glenn Schofield's really clicked with him, and he just, what he did is he just didn't ask a lot of him around the turn, nursed him around the bend, got him going through the cracks. Looked a great winning chance, but Special Reward too good. Purple Sector, I think just coming back to 1400, they were just a bit sharp for him, but he ran well again, even though he's a beaten favourite. But All Honours was Special Reward, who's having a bit of a renaissance. He was in the wilderness for a fair while there. Of course, started his career with our mate Simon Miller in Perth and had a very good early career in Perth. And he won a Southern Cross at Randwick in 2020. But he had a long time where he was battling. But this preparation, he's back to his old self.
Thoughts here, Brendan?
Yeah, got into a bit of a sweet spot, did Special Reward, speed was good, midfield, not a lot of traffic around, and he relaxed well, patient ride from Schofield, pulled the trigger at the right time, good effort through the cracks, runs up to his second up form, and no compromise, was a good return, the stayer up the inside, but All Honours with the winner, a well-executed ride from Glenn Schofield.
Taking out the stakes race, the listed race at Randwick yesterday, time for the boys' runs of the day. Horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
We'll kick it off with you, Dino.
Runs of the day. You have a few to choose from at the Valley because fast times, etc. But I really like the development of Unflinching. I think he is a good three-year-old going places, and he can win again. And the horse to follow is another three-year-old, and that is Sharp Response out of race six. I thought against the pattern of the day, his run was enormous.
Great Western, their annual meeting in Geelong today. Anything we need to be keeping an eye on?
I'm going to Geelong, race five, number seven, Secret Shima. I think getting onto the bigger track, Damien Lane to ride, that might be her day today. I know you've been following her, Warren, race five, number seven.
Yes, I've been following her, but it hasn't been too rewarding. But, she's going to appreciate the open spaces of Geelong, you would think. Thanks for your help this morning, and looking forward to your contribution right throughout the week, Dino. And in particular, congratulations to Leanne and the connections of In The Boat, who I think is going to get a mention from a couple of us. You're too humble to make him the run of the day. He's certainly going to feature with me. Looking forward to seeing you step out to 1400.
Terrific. Thanks, Warren.
Brendan, what are we looking forward to Sunday Central the next couple of hours?
Plenty coming up, Warren. Big preview of Geelong with Harry White. We'll get Charlotte Littlefield's thoughts on her two runners, Royal Volley and quarterback Zach. Cup day at Great Western. Trav Noonan to take us through the program there. Andrew Bobbin's got the short trip from Stool. He's got five runners. We'll get his thoughts on his chances. Then we'll jump on the Form Express, go through Grafton, Wyong, the Sunshine Coast and Panola before we get a game plan from Luke Humphreys for Kilmore and his thoughts on the Ballarat Cup last night. And then George Ferrugia to take us through the pools of thunder and a look at Sandown. So a busy 2 hours ahead of us.
How are you wrapping up yesterday?
In the boat, run of the day, hard enough to win one, let alone win four, and keep serving up the same sort of stuff with every victory. He's the run of the day for mine. Horse to follow, Maria Mir out of the last month between runs going to Moonee Valley there yesterday. Just topped her off that run. She had got luck there yesterday. She would have been in the finish, but I think if she stays at Moonee Valley last next time, she's got a good record there. She can be in the money when she steps out again.
Terrific work, Brendan. Great to have you back and looking forward to the next couple of hours with Sunday Central. I'm with you with Within the Boat. I think a riding the speed, running near track record time. He was the run of the day for me on a day where they were running fast times, and I made Sharp Response, a horse to follow, out of his first up run at Flemington. Nothing to change my mind out of his performance yesterday. I'm sticking with Sharp Response as the horse to follow out of the meeting at the Valley. Just gone 10 o'clock. Time for a sports update. Stay tuned for Sunday Central with Brendan Delaney.